I want my practice to be bigger than just the discount or just because of his dentistry. And that's great because dentistry, it's an awesome industry, but there's got to be a bigger purpose why the patients are going to come see you as a practitioner. And it has to go beyond dentistry. It's what does the practice stand for? That's what we got to be aiming towards.
This is the Startup Dentist Podcast, where associate dentists ignite their journey to practice ownership with a startup that matters. Learn from the experts who have opened more private practice startups than anyone in dentistry, led by your host and CEO of Ideal Practices, Jamie Amos.
Welcome back, Startup Crew. Very happy you're here because today we're going to tackle one of the most important questions, which is based on this. Have you ever asked yourself this question before? Where do I even begin? It's a good question, right? If you're an associate dentist and you've started to look into this startup process, you've probably asked yourself, what's the first step to take in all this process? It's a great question, which is why we're going to talk about your first step. Today, I'm going to be introducing you to an expert who has been a part of over 650 startups in dentistry. Crazy, right? That's a real number. He's been a part of over 650 startups. We're going to talk through this concept with him because he's been there enough times to know what can keep you safe. Because the reality is right now, you're probably thinking, okay, Jamie, I'm interested in a startup, but man, what am I going to do with, I've got some serious school debt. Or maybe you're one of the doctors who's thinking, I want to do a startup because I want to have my own practice, but there's so much on the line, right? Or maybe you're like so many of the doctors who I've talked to who've said, I'd like to open a startup, but I've heard some of these horror stories of doctors who get so stressed out and who spend years working in somebody else's practice. How do I take the right first steps? That's why we're going to cover this topic today, right at the beginning of this Startup Dentist Masterclass. Here's what we're going to do first. There's a big problem. Let's address the elephant in the room. The problem is that there are two typical pieces of advice from the so-called experts. They love to give you these two pieces of advice. Maybe you can start to think of what these two pieces of advice might be. They sound good on the surface, but as soon as you start looking into them, you realize these two pieces of advice are horrible for a startup. So I'd like to share them with you now to help you prevent the risk that's associated with these two awful first steps. So here are the two. The first one, the first awful first step, is banking. A lot of people, the so-called experts, they'll try to say, all you need to do to get started with a startup is start calling some banks. Don't do that. Please, don't do that. Why? Well, let me put it this way. It's a little like when you were applying for dental school. You remember those days? You took all the tests. You filled out the applications. You waited anxiously to see which school you were going to get accepted into, right? You remember those days. When you were applying for dental school, did you go get your dental school loans first? I'm joking. No, of course. You didn't get your dental school loans before getting into dental school, right? That's called the cart before the horse. You've heard that phrase, right? It literally means the cart is put in front of the wagon, or the horse is put in front of the wagon. You don't put the horse in front of the wagon won't move. The cart before the horse, that's where that phrase comes from. It's the horse in front of a wagon. If you've never heard that phrase, then now you know, now you've heard it. The cart before the horse. We don't want your wagon in front of the horse. In other words, we don't want your banking topics in front of your first step. Okay, so that's the first one. The first awful suggestion is banking. Don't do that. We're going to talk through what to do before banking in a little while. In this episode and future episodes, we're going to talk through things like how to set your compass so that you can have the right plan in place. Things like business plans, things like strategies, things like, well, maybe it's not all about just rate and term. Maybe there's actually something about the right bank. So we'll talk about the right process, but that's not it. Do not call a bank first. Not a good plan. If you have, by the way, if you called a bank, don't feel bad. It's very common for people to do this. And I'm going to recommend that If that's you, just ignore the banker's calls for right now. We'll call them back soon. If you feel compelled to answer one of the banker's calls, they're trained to call you incessantly. They're trained to send you lots of emails. Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? You ready to get going? Let's get started. And you'll also see they're going to start trying to introduce you to all kinds of people. Meet the realtor, meet the equipment guy, meet the construction guy. They're trying to hustle you along in the process. Don't do that. Don't fall for that trick. If they call you, just say, hey, thanks so much. Appreciate you calling. This is great. I need to put things on pause. Nothing is wrong. Don't have any serious health concerns. I just need to put this on pause while I get my ducks in a row. Okay? So you could try that. It's worked for, I don't know, maybe hundreds of dentists. Okay, so there you go. Don't take the banking step first. That's an awful first step. The second awful step that I don't want you to take is looking at real estate. That's right. It's not safe to look at real estate as your first step. How do I know this? Well, I've been a part of over $100 million in real estate transactions, whether it's for our clients at Ideal Practices, as we've consulted them through the real estate negotiations process. I've also, you know, done this through my own real estate portfolio or other retail businesses that I've guided. The right first step is not real estate. Now, it feels good to look at real estate first because it's like, oh, I can imagine being there, or I can envision being there. And it gives me kind of motivation to think about that building. But let me just give you a story. One of our recent clients, this poor guy, I mean, thankfully his story has now worked out, but oh my gosh, you should have seen when he took the first step toward real estate, he ended up wrapped into this negotiation where even at first glance, I looked at the negotiated terms of his real estate deal and I thought, oh, good Lord, my friend, this is not good. This is really bad for a startup. I'll give you lots of details on his real estate mess later, but the punchline of his story is that after all the negotiations had to be unwound, it took a couple months, I actually personally got on the phone with his landlord. We ended up dissecting and dissolving all the previous discussions. We ended up restructuring all of them. Now, we did all the math just a couple weeks ago. We did all the math, and now this doctor has literally saved $700,000. Crazy, right? Because he was willing to pause and get things back on the right track, he was able to save $700,000. We've quantified it and spread it out over the course of his term, over the course of his lease. That's real money, guys. That's not money that he's going to take out of his pocket. That's money that he's literally going to save now for the rest of his career. So for you, I want you to ignore the awful suggestions. Don't talk to the bank first. Don't do it. It'll put you in a very weak position. We'll talk about what to do. We'll talk about the right way in a future episode. And secondly, don't go looking at real estate now. It'll cause some really messy outcomes that need to be undone if you want to protect your finances and if you want to protect your future. So don't look at real estate. Instead, I want you to listen to this episode, okay? So today, we're going to talk about the right first steps. We're going to talk about the right path for you. Like I said, this will feel a little bit like pointing your compass. We're going to point your compass through today's discussion. We've broken this into two episodes. We're going to point your compass down a customized path for you. This will not be like weird cookie cutter typical consulting advice where like you have to fit in somebody's box. No, that's silly. This is going to be customized for you. This is going to help you go through the process of figuring out which first steps are best for your journey into practice ownership. How does that sound? So let's get started. To answer this question, what is the first step I should take? Even with the school debt, even with the stress, even with the concerns, because I know right now you're interested in exploring a startup, let's get you to take the right first step. We're going to do that now for you with a startup that matters. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Startup crew, we get to do this again. But today, this isn't just again. This is a whole new dimension that you're going to be leaning into for your startup practice. You're about to find out the first step about what makes associate dentists get the right guidance toward their grand opening. So right now, I want to introduce hundreds of startups all over the country just in dentistry. He has guided funding through startups of $500 million of dental financing.
And when it comes to startups, the wisdom here is going to come from the president of Ideal Practices. As you know, Ideal Practices is the number one consulting firm in all of dentistry that has helped more startup practices than anyone in the industry. The president of the firm is named Mr. Stephen Trutter. Stephen, would you say hello?
Hello, startup crew. Great to be here. Jamie, thanks for having me on here today. I cannot wait to jump in today and share experiences after 650 times over 15 years with the listeners out there today. So congratulations to everybody that's here, and can't wait to jump in.
This is going to be great. One of the things I love is how Stephen, with all this wisdom and experience, at the same time, he's such a relatable, approachable guy. Some of our clients, they'll end up saying things like, oh my gosh, I was trying to be so prepared. And then Stephen just had me laughing on the floor. So Stephen, I know a bunch of your experience in dentistry has happened while you and Megan have had three girls. Any insights between having three girls and startups? Is there any correlation there? We didn't prep for this, so I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh man, putting me on the spot. Well, it's a good analogy, because every once in a while I'll have a conversation with a client and I say, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you open up a practice, you're, no matter how many things that you do, you're never 100% ready. Like, you get as ready as you possibly can. And it's kind of like having children. You can read a book and everything, but until you really start to jump into it and do it, you're really not 100% ready to have children. And are you really prepared? And then all of a sudden you have the child and it's like, oh, cool, I got to be a parent. But you train as much as you possibly can. So any correlations? Well, that's my correlation. Having three children, especially three daughters, there are days where all I ask for our clients is, hey, when can I come out and visit? Because I think I need to get out of the house for a couple of days.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah, Stephen's girls and my two kids, we've traveled together. We've gone to some museums and things together with the kids. Amazing family. Really, it's just so impressive how you're able to manage all this in dentistry and then still create such a great family. Right now, get ready to hang on every word. Because right now, we're going to dig into the foundation, especially the intangible foundation for your startup. If you get this stage right, if you get this one right, it acts like a compass for everything else in the journey. Let me put it this way. My wife, Lisa, she went to base camp. You know, she visited Tibet. She did some missionary work in China, and she visited in Tibet. She went to base camp. Stephen, I don't know if you ever told you this story. She was at the base camp of Mount Everest.
No, not at all. Wow, this is a new one. Like, wait a minute. I never heard this one.
Yeah. So Lisa's not one of the people who hiked up Mount Everest, but she is one of the people who got to base camp, which is a feat in and of itself. But as she started to interview some of the people there, wondering if, you know, this journey through up Mount Everest could be right for her, she learned that one of the primary requirements, like one of the success creating elements for hiking up Mount Everest, is a Sherpa. We've joked a lot about Sherpas in Ideal Practices, because many times complicated journeys accompanied by a Sherpa make everything clearer, make everything easier. There's a book, as a matter of fact, about hiking up Mount Everest written by a guy named John Krakauer. It's called Into Thin Air. And on this journey up Mount Everest, he's a journalist, and he documented his real experience going up Mount Everest, and all the stress and the fear and the frigid air and the cold weather and the blizzard they were a part of. And he described some things, or he literally documented people, like on his little crew of 12 people hiking up Mount Everest, a couple people who died. Like, they literally wandered slightly off the blizzard and died. And much of it is because they didn't listen to the Sherpa. And hikers know, rock climbers, mountain climbers, they know that if you want to make it to the top alive, you follow the Sherpa. And here's the crazy part. For the Sherpa, it's easier. The Sherpas are literally born in that environment. They have spent decades in that thinner air. They've spent decades, their whole genealogy, their DNA strand is built in a way that allows them to have it easier. So while the hikers like you and me or Lisa would need an oxygen tank just to make it to the top, the Sherpa can literally carry your oxygen tank for you and not even need one. And that's a true thing. So what does that mean for startups? For here, as an associate dentist, as you're dreaming of opening a startup, I want you to recognize that Stephen is like one of the best Sherpas on the planet. Not on Mount Everest, but for startups. I want you to explore the next episode here on the Startup Dentist Podcast, like your personal Sherpa. Is it going to be challenging? Yes. Do some people not make it? Yeah, some people literally don't make it. There are literally stories of dentists who do startups and go bankrupt. Like they go bankrupt. So I want to make it very clear that this is not just about space. This is not just about money. You can pursue those things with a startup, and then you could end up with nothing but space of real estate. It could end up with nothing but money. But we're going to talk about something much greater than that. I want you to have a practice that is fulfilling to get to the top of this Mount Everest called your startup. We're going to go down this path with a Sherpa. So today's episode is going to feel like the Sherpa, lining all these pieces up to point you in the right direction, headed up the mountain. So Stephen, let's see here. Give me an example of, if you could, share with me your top thoughts on what we call vision. Maybe you can describe for people even what the vision call is like, and then we can dip into even an example. We take people through an accelerated vision call for the intangible first steps of a startup. Can you talk us through what's
absolutely
on your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, I was going to say you have an amazing family, an amazing wife. And I was going to say if she's a Sherpa and she's taking people up Mount Everest, then I did not know that. So amazing.
Part-time job, trekking people.
Part-time
little,
job.
Little tiny leaf.
Amazing. From a vision perspective, I think when we go through this process with our clients, we always talk about what are those intangible aspects of a doctor's vision. I think a lot of times what gets wrapped up into the idea or the concept of sometimes vision is, well, how many operatories and, you know, what's the shape and what are my colors and what those things are going to be. And it's like, well, that can be kind of like what you, like a tangible part, but it's like, what is this practice going to represent for you in the future? In other words, I always want to call it, it's a vehicle that's going to get you somewhere else in life, whether that's financially or it's something that aligns well for you and your family. So let's talk about like, what's the big reason why you're doing this practice? What is this practice going to represent beyond just additional income or an employment opportunity and you to be a practice owner? But what does it actually represent at a bigger thought as this vehicle towards that? And so we start to talk about what those intangible aspects are of that vision, because those intangible aspects of vision are so very, very important, because we got to know where we're aiming towards. Where are we going to take this practice? Yeah, those things are important when it comes down to numbers of operatories and what is it going to look like and even procedures. But what's the bigger picture, what this practice represents to you, to your family, or to your legacy? Those are the things we have to aim towards, because then that sets everything else in motion.
Really cool. One of the sad things that I see for so many practice owners, Stephen, you and I hear this all the time from doctors, exes, or, you know, we've compared notes. When we speak on stage, sometimes doctors will come up to us afterwards and say, oh, I'm one of those doctors. I opened
I
my own practice.
I'm laughing, but it's not
and
good.
I've
it's
been
not, I'm la- I know.
No, yeah. You know where I'm going with this. Doctors will say, I opened my own practice. I've been open for years. And I'm just now realizing that I completely missed my opportunity. I could have had so much more. I could have enjoyed so much more over the last 5 years, and I missed it. So as you're listening to this, startup crew, I want to share with you something very powerful and almost private. Now, this is something that I'm about to share with you that we share just with our clients. I'm opening this up so that we can guide more associate dentists toward startup success. I'm going to share with you part of our vision call. So what I'm about to take you through is going to feel a little bit like you're on one of our strategy calls that we take our high-level consulting clients through. These are the doctors who have the bank loans pay for our services to guide them through the entire journey from idea to grand opening, where we fly out, we work one-on-one, we work in a customized fashion through every stage of the 13 stages process to get you open successfully with a practice you're proud of. So right now, today begins the whole thing. And this is going to feel a little bit like your vision call. So what I want you to do is get a pad of paper. And if you're on a treadmill or if you're driving, don't try taking notes right now. You can do it later. But I want you to envision drawing three columns on a piece of paper. So picture in your mind three columns on a pad of paper. On that pad of paper, I want you to title each of these columns with the letters K, R, and G. K, R, G. This is going to be a framework that's going to guide you through the intangible part of the vision. K, R, G. The K is going to represent a term that I'd like you to remember named known for. So the K is going to represent known for. The R is going to represent a term named remembered by. And the G is going to represent a term named give. So K, R, G. This will represent a foundation, an intangible vision foundation for your first step. Do you remember at the beginning of this discussion, I mentioned we're going to take the first step. So you have more than just a practice. How do we do that? I want you to reverse engineer everything you desire to become, like as a person, as a community leader, as someone of influence in your town. I want us to start talking through right now. I want you to start thinking through things like, what kind of character do I want my town to recognize about me? Or how about this? How do I want my community to see my integrity? In what ways do I want my town to trust me? Or how about this? My neighbors, some of them will come to me. What level of respect do I hope for? I hope these questions are almost gnawing at you. Like, oh, wow, that's kind of deep. Yeah, kind of deep. But here's the reality. This is like a Sherpa moment. We're at base camp. And right now we're going to look at a compass. And we're going to tip up. We're going to look up. We're going to look toward the peak of Mount Everest together. And the three of us, Doctor, right now, you're listening to this podcast. It's you and me and Stephen. It's the three of us. We're all looking at your compass. And we're about to tip our head up and look to the peak of the mountain and say, okay, Doc, which of these paths is right for you? There are a couple different ways to get here. Some are going to be right for you. Some are not. Some of these paths are paths that other doctors have tried and failed at. Some of these paths people have followed and they've gotten really mediocre results. You've seen some of these doctors. Let's be really raw for a minute. You've seen some of these doctors post on Facebook and their results are pretty mediocre and they take a long time to get there. So they take twice as long to get half of the results. I don't want that for you. So right now, the three of us are looking at this compass. K, R, G. This is going to act like your compass. I want to take you through this exercise here. As I do, Stephen, you and I talked a little bit about a doctor. I won't use his initials because his initials actually reveal who he is. You know who I'm talking about. We'll just call him Dr. R. His two initials will actually, he goes by his two initials. So we'll just call him Dr. R. So you and Dr. R were talking about his situation, especially related to his KRG. Can you give a little peek about now multiple months into this process? Some of those thoughts. Do you mind sharing that?
Yeah. I literally just had a marketing kickoff strategic call with him literally last night. And to hear his enthusiasm of like kind of, I would even say going up the mountain where it's like, wow, we've got the floor plan done. We've got all these things done, the demographics, all the funding, everything's in line. The space is now secured. Now it's like, oh, what do we do now? And it's like, he's excited because it's like, we're going up that mountain and we're hitting different base camps. We're at a whole new base camp because he's like, cool. I can't wait to let people know about my message. And if I can quote what he said in the vision call, he said,
oh, cool. If we take really good notes, by the way, I'm excited to hear what he said.
This is what he said. If he, through the eyes of one of his patients, he would say, he said this, he goes, I want the patient to be able to say this, the practice cared about my dentistry and I finally have a dental home that values me. In other words, a patient, that's what he wants to have. And so to have a guy like this and have a doctor like this who says, this practice serves something bigger beyond me. And what he's going to use this for is also to help with a bigger cause.
to use this practice as a vehicle, like I talked about, into a bigger cause that will help support something that are beyond the walls of the practice. And the thing he brought up, it was awesome, because he goes, you know, kind of like Tom's shoes. And I go, Tom's shoes, that's the thing we talk about all the time. And, you know, Jamie, you know the story about Tom's shoes. You know, Tom was a real guy. And people probably on this podcast today are thinking, Tom's shoes. Yeah, they're the shoes that, like, what they're known for, which is buy a shoe, give a shoe. They're messaging.
Yeah, I love that. Even right on their website. Even said it right on their website. Yeah. Buy a shoe, give a shoe.
Yeah, their messaging almost supersedes the shoe themselves. Like, how great are the shoes? I don't know how great the shoes are, but we sure as heck know what their message is. And Dr. R says, that's what I'm going to build. I want to build that vehicle for that. And this is what that practice is going to represent. And he wants to have multiple practices, but this one first practice is going to represent that, so that he can build something that's beyond just that. And he can care for patients and have the control and freedom to care for patients in the manner that he feels that the patients need to be cared for, that's not based upon a spreadsheet, that isn't based upon some sort of corporate mandate that says you got to turn X amount of patients through. He said, I'm going to care for them this way. I'm going to have a profitable business, but it's going to have a different presence in my community. I want my practice to be bigger than just the discount or just because of his dentistry. And that's great, because dentistry, it's an awesome industry, but there's got to be a bigger purpose why the patients are going to come see you as a practitioner. And it has to go beyond dentistry. It's what does the practice stand for? That's what we got to be aiming towards.
Yeah, so what, love that. So let's springboard off of that and say, what Dr. R did is he pre-planned his reputation. So as you're thinking through these three columns, K, R, G, remember? So startup crew, ready? You've written it down. Hopefully you've mentally written it down. K, R, G, these three columns. The K is going to represent this topic of reputation. How do you want the town to talk about you? So Stephen, that's awesome. Love the description for Dr. R, like what that might sound like for him. This is almost like a Babe Ruth moment. You know, Babe Ruth, the old baseball player. Stephen, when did he, you're a sports guy. I'm not, so I'm going to screw this up. But what were the years, the ranges about when, was that the
20s? It was in the 20s. Yeah, absolutely. Babe Ruth was in the 20s. Yep.
So Babe Ruth, you've probably all heard how he called his shot. Babe Ruth, there's a famous picture and a famous instance where old lore and people who saw this happen, he pointed to the stands. He raised his left hand and he pointed up to the bleachers. Before the pitch came in, he pointed to the bleachers. When the pitch came in, he swung his bat, made connection, and boom, it was a home run to the spot where he pointed. That's calling your shot. Babe Ruth actually did it. What K allows you to do, K, known for, this allows you to call your shot. But powerfully speaking, this allows you to call the shot of your reputation. So Stephen and the consultants on his team, all the consultants who focus on things like demographics or who guide our clients through things like real estate negotiations or equipment or floor plans, all the consultants that Stephen and his team coordinate, these are the things that are the byproduct. These are the byproduct of calling your shot. If we call your shot with your reputation, we're going to reverse engineer after defining it. We're going to lay out the system in a way that allows you to create that reputation. So how would we do this? I'm going to recommend that for you, as you're thinking through, what reputation do I want? Like, I'm going to give you categories to think through this in. And I want you to write down with great specificity, write down exactly what this means to you on a personal level. I want you to write down things like, what do I want my facility to look like? What do I want it to look like, feel like, smell like? Like, I know that sounds weird, but like, Stephen, you and I, we were just talking with Dr. Brian Packard, the guy who launched a practice, $1 million startup practice in his first year, $1 million of collection. We'll break apart his case study in a later episode. But Brian was just telling me and Stephen, we had a planning meeting in Tampa, Florida. We had a planning meeting and Brian told us, I can't believe it. I actually have a practice that looks and even smells like I planned on my vision call. Right? So, how does that happen? It happens when you call your shot. It happens after you point to the stands. The danger is so many doctors leave this to chance, or they don't get clear on it. And if you're not clear on where you're headed, you're probably not going to get there very efficiently. Is that fair to say, Stephen?
or they don't get there at all because they actually haven't set their compass or called what their shot is. They just kind of like, I found jumping in the real estate and saying, this is a great idea without really knowing where are you heading with this practice, not just getting open, but like thinking about this. So it is kind of a deep topic where it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We got to be start planning out the next couple decades. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
The facility, how it looks, how it smells. I want you to literally write down things that you, if you were a patient and you're going through this patient's experience 10 years from today, I want you to write down what the patient would see. What would they say like, oh my gosh, that's gorgeous. Or maybe they'd say like, I loved when I saw how the facility did this. Or I love this open space. I love how my kids were able to do this. I love how in the back even I saw this thing. So I want you to describe the facility. What about the facility? The looks, the feels, the smells, the vibes. What about it is pre-planned? Plan that out intentionally with specificity to as much detail and degree as you can possibly create today. Calling your shot. Next, we're going to ask you to write down things like your team members. What would this community say about your team? Best case possibility. Best case scenario today. Why do I want you to plan these things out now? It's not futile exercises. This is not busy work. The reason I want you to write these things down now is if you define them, you can then build a system to get it. I can literally tell you, here's a story of Dr. Alexis. Dr. Alexis, she's amazing. When she first came to us, she said, listen, I love riding horses. I'm actually a blue ribbon winner. I used to win shows riding my horses in competitions. She was an associate dentist at the time. And she said, but you know what? I'm in this practice now and I'm just like overworked. I don't have any time to ride horses. But you know what really pisses me off? She's got a way with words. She says, you know what really pisses me off? She's like, the team members, Stephen, you probably remember this, the team members,
they're
treated like crap. She used more colorful words than I did. But she said, she's an amazing clinician, incredible patient experience. She's like the queen of her town now. It's awesome. She said, the team members are treated like crap. She said, I want to have a place where my team members can be respected. I want to have a place where they're treated right, where I can control the patient experience. Now, let me fast forward. Alexis has now been open for 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. She now owns her commercial real estate. So thank you for that. So 3 years. So Alexis now owns her commercial building. Sometimes that's right. Sometimes it's not right. Some doctors desire it. Some don't. She desired it. It was part of her shot that she called. She now owns her commercial real estate. She now has a team where doctors are applying to work, where team members are applying to work in her practice before she even has openings. How great would that be? Your reputation in the town is so good that team members are applying to work for you. Obviously, that was not an accident. She's now developed this culture in her practice that prioritizes this because she called her shot. But even better than all that, I just talked with her at one of our, what's called our mastery elite meetings, some of the doctors. Who go through a process as clients. We invite them into a program for rapid acceleration. And Alexis is one of them. That's called Mastery Elite. It's the highest level, fastest growth group of doctors and startups in the whole country. Alexis is one of them. And she said, guys, big announcement. She comes into the meeting. She's super humble. She's sitting there and she says, big announcement. Everybody's like, what? Well, been open about 2.5 years. And for the first time, I'm now riding horses 5 days a week. Guys, startup crew, are you getting this? Are you getting this? She was on a path where she was going to burn out. She was on a path making good money, but felt sick every day with how her own team members were being treated. Now she not only has a practice where she owns the building, she not only has, by the way, now she has a multi-million dollar practice. And she isn't doing it for the money. She's not like a money-grubbing business Wall Street strategist. She's just a normal, good doctor who cares about people. And she's able to enjoy this life that she's created for herself of riding horses. So for you, what kind of horses do you want to ride? Which horses do you want to ride? When I'm talking about K, known for your reputation, I want you to get clear on What are your priorities in your facility? What do you want patients to experience? What are priorities that you want to have happen with your team members? I want you to write these things down in specificity. What are the team members going to say about you? What is your town going to say about your team members? What is your town going to notice about the way? Write this down. How will the team interact with you? How will the team treat each other? How will this team greet your patients when they walk in the door? Oh, yeah. Damien, are you talking about things like scripts? I am. What kinds of things are important to you? Let's pre-plan it. So we're calling your shot today, and then we're going to make that a reality as we hike up this mountain. I'll carry the tank of oxygen for you. Stephen will carry your luggage. We're going to hike up this mountain together. It's going to be hard work. It will be freaking hard. It'll be hard, and it'll be challenging, and it'll push you sometimes to where you didn't even know you were capable of going. But we're going to hike up this mountain to create what you desire. But if you're not clear on it, it cannot be created. And it definitely won't be created by following some random dude's advice on a social media account. Like, you follow some guy's advice. One guy who opened one practice, one time, in one town, 5 years ago, with mediocre results. Really? You want to follow his advice? For your practice? Thank God Alexis didn't do that, or she may have ended up with somebody else's practice. But now she has her practice. This is what I'm talking about, pre-planning this. So what about the facility? What about the team? And then lastly, what are they going to say about you, like at a core heart level, as a person, as a human, as a person with a heart? What are these community members? What are these townspeople? What are your neighbors going to say about you as a person? And I want you to get raw. Stephen, how would you describe the reaction that doctors will sometimes have when they try to describe this on a vision call? How would you spell that out?
I will say there are times where they start to spell this out. They get emotional about this because no one's ever brought to the forefront to them. I think what they hear in circles a lot of times of their colleagues or forums is the numbers of dentistry and, you know, how to make a startup, you know, profitable, which is absolutely important. But I guess the bigger picture is it's all about the numbers and the profitability and things like that versus what's the bigger purpose. And then when they hear this go back to them of like, wow, that's what's going to be the greatest thing. It's like they're almost like no one's ever talked to me that way. And I know that's what I felt, but I was afraid to almost say it. Because I didn't think that was what I should be talking about. And it's like, no, that's exactly what we need to be pursuing and be talking about.
Oh, I don't know if I ever thought of it that way. But yeah, that's powerful. Like, this is what I felt. This is what I know I wanted. But nobody else wants me to talk about that. They want to talk about demographics ratios.
Yeah.
They want to talk about, how about this? They want to, I can't say the real word. You'll know what I mean. I'm going to say something about operatory size.
Mm-hmm.
People will talk. They'll talk about the shake away practice model. It's not shake away, but you know it rhymes a little with shake away. The shake away practice model. People, they'll say, "Oh, you need the most efficient operatory size. You have to have this many millimeters of length, and you have to use the junkiest, oldest, crappiest equipment in the smallest space possible, so you can squeeze every last penny out of every single patient interaction." Really? Is that really the reputation? Reputation. Is that really the reputation that you want? Or is that just what
you want
with a calculator and a spreadsheet?
You can still have those.
To do. Right. Good point. Yeah. You can still have that.
You can still have that if you want, but still the practice needs to have a bigger reason of that, not just my vision is small operatories. That's
brilliant.
That's not vision.
Doesn't stop there. Love that. Doesn't stop there. Yeah, so this is heavy stuff. I actually think, so we're in the first column of the KRG process. What I want to do is I want to refocus you, doctor, startup crew, on the Startup Dentist Podcast. My goal for you is to get clarity, right? I told you about clarity. I want for you to get clarity about how to go from this idea. How are we going to get the idea to go to your grand opening? In order to get from your idea to your grand opening, what no other dentist on Social media will tell you. What no other dentist in some course about spreadsheets will tell you, what no one else will talk to you about, is the fact that we need to pre-plan your reputation. Why? Because you get one shot. You get one shot to do this right. Could you take 5, 10, 20 years to build up to that reputation? Sure. But what I desire for you is, like Dr. Trey, who just messaged me last Monday. Dr. Trey messaged me and said, holy crap, it works. What he sent me was a link to a page of his Harrisburg, Pennsylvania newspaper cover, the homepage of his town's newspaper. Trey is about 2 months away from opening his doors. And he said, maybe it's a month and a half at this point, but he says, holy crap, it works. I clicked on the link, the picture of Trey, chest is puffed out. He's in his black scrubs, standing in front of a arms are crossed, and he just looks super proud, incredibly confident. He's standing in front of this brick building, and the top of the headline of the newspaper article says, local doctor commits to change lives in his new dental practice with this cause that he's proud of. I can describe this cause later. The local doctor. So here's the aha moment. Dr. Trey is on the cover of this newspaper, and he's not open yet. The irony of the whole thing is, the building behind Dr. Trey, there's no sign on the building yet. So what does that mean for a startup? That means he is literally pre-planning his reputation. His town is starting to understand what he stands for even before he has a sign on his building. This is the power of calling your shot. This is the power of taking the first step. This is the power of deciding, I'm going to have more than just a dental practice. I want to have real vision decided. I want a real compass. Direction set. I want this direction for my practice. I want to be like Dr. Trey. Well, guess what? There are a lot of other dentists in his town. We even had discussions about it. There's lots of other dentists here. How am I going to stand out? Don't worry, Trey. We got you covered. Don't worry, Trey. We got you covered. Well, you'll stand out. Your whole town will know you before you're even open. Here's how. Now, this is one of the ways, one of the many ways that we do this. But Trey is now getting the publicity. Like, this is crazy. Wrap your mind around this. Ready? He's getting the publicity. Dozens of other practice owners probably deserve more than him. Ouch. Did I just say that? Yeah. Dozens of other practice owners probably deserve. What do I mean by deserve? Well, they've been open longer, or maybe they have more patients. Maybe they have more influence. I don't know. I'm not a clinician, but maybe their skills are even better. I don't know. But you could argue that they deserve it more than him, but he got on the cover. And guess what? He got on the cover. Weeks before he's open. And this is why I say we're going to call your shot. This is why I'm saying we need to get clear on your K, you're known for, what kind of reputation you desire. The clearer you are on that, and I want you to write down with specificity. Some of our clients will write down two paragraphs. Other will write down two pages. Actually, that one Dr. Brian, who I just mentioned earlier, Steve, what was his, like 3 or 4 pages? It was really long.
Yes. It can be 3 paragraphs or it can be 3 or 4 pages. Absolutely.
And now look at what he has. Now he's got a $1 million practice in his first 12 months. So this is the power. I want to go into R and I want to go into G, the rest of these three columns, because this will transform the rest of your career. Stephen, before we go there, are there any final words on reputation that you think people should hear before we transition into these other sections of the vision?
The only thing I would say is it's not just about the patient that needs to understand what the reputation is. It's the team that you're going to be leading, that you have to be able to show what that reputation is going to be so that you can build a team with the same DNA that will represent this vision into the community with you. So it's important that you have a team with you that can also mirror that reputation. So that's all I'll leave you with.
Brilliant. Love it, guys. Please, round of applause for Mr. Stephen Treader. We're going to have him back on the next episode of the Startup Dentist Podcast. Talk to you next time.
Join us in the Startup Crew. This is our private Facebook group dedicated just to associate dentists. In this community, we carry conversations from the podcast into real life, and you get to interact with me and the other experts to consider your future in private practice ownership. Join me in the Startup
crew. Here's how to get there. Go to startupdentistpodcast.com. You can find the link to access the group there. Or go to Facebook and search for Startup Crew. I'll see you inside the Startup Crew community. Take care.